when I drop off at school, I get out of the van.
Meeting to order. I apologize, everyone. As people are aware, we did that honoring of World War II veterans, and one of the individuals, I didn't realize that I was introducing as someone that I've known since I was little. So he came first. Let's get going. Good morning, Senator Byrd.
Good morning, Linda.
My friends call me Linda.
All of y'all.
There we go.
Yes, so we're going to have to leave. She had a meeting with the governor, so.
Okay.
If we have quorum, she said it will be okay. We proceed.
Ms. White, you're on deck.
Okay, Madam Chair and members, I'm going to start with page 2 of the staff side-by-side. The first section is a house-only section, which prohibits certain purchases with MFIP cash benefits in the form of EBT, tobacco products, lottery tickets, and alcoholic beverages.
Why am I not surprised that Senator Berglund would be the first one raising her hand? Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair, this provision has shown up in a number of budget conference committees in the past, and it has a fiscal note attached to it. And my understanding is that we do not have authorization to include items in this conference committee that would have a fiscal impact.
Senator Berglund, you are correct. Members, this is one of the ones that we argued on the House floor for Senator Torres Ray. For your information, myself and Representative Seifert has had it out over this provision, I don't know, 5 or 6 years in different forms. I do have a copy of the department's fiscal note, and they're assuming $300,000 out of the general fund in 2009. Because of that, I believe Senator Berglund is right. It's not germane.
The next section, Madam Chair, is a Senate-only provision. It modifies the DHS Licensing Act by adding that the commissioner may consider granting a variance for a person in the corrections field.
This is a provision that I had in a different bill, I believe, but it's being conferenced here. And a number of years ago, we struggled mightily with getting some relief under granting of variances, and we were able to get it for people that currently are given variances in adult chemical dependency. The corrections programs that are licensed by the Department of Human Services are very similar, and so the request was that we include this as well. I don't believe there is any opposition to it.
Members, this is actually a provision that we're thinking about taking in a conference committee that myself and Senator Torres Ray just did a couple days ago. It seems like yesterday. And so I think the House is okay with this. So Senator Torres Ray, would you like to move to adopt?
I move that we adopt a section. What section would this be?
Section 1, Subdivision 2.
I would like to move the Senate language for Article 3.
Are there any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
The next section is a Senate-only section. It requires the commissioner to allocate federal fiscal disallowances and sanctions that are based on a random sample for all affected programs, not just the foster care programs, in direct proportion to each county's claim for that period.
It is my understanding that the department is willing to drop this provision. Are there any questions, Senator Berglund?
Madam Chair, why would we want to drop it? It seems unfair that if there are fiscal disallowances across a number of programs, that counties should be having to accept those disallowances just on their foster care, because we know there's a disproportionate distribution of foster care across the state.
I think I'm going to call on Ms. McMurtney. I know there was a lot of discussion going back between, or the department, someone, Ms. Martineau, between members yesterday. I did see the emails, but I was not fully engaged.
Madam Chair, members, and my department of Human Services, this was a provision that was handled by other DHS staff. And as of this morning, it's my understanding that the department is okay with not including it. It had to do with the fact that the House wanted to have this be much more extensive and have the counties involved in approving the plan of distribution of the disallowance. And it was just getting rather complicated, and so the decision was made in our financial management area that we'll revisit this next year.
Madam Chair, Ms. Martineau, I guess my concern is if federal disallowances come along in the meantime, that then you would be allocating them based on a county's foster care use only, whereas the disallowance might not actually only be in the foster care area.
Madam Chair, Senator Berglund, that's correct, and this is why we sought this language.
Well, I find that, Madam Chair,
Senator Berglund.
I just have to say again, I find that disturbing because we do know that there is a disproportionate impact of foster care across the state. And I think it would be unfair for counties that all they're doing is serving the clients they have. I mean, residents of those counties have these federal disallowances then because they happen to be serving a lot more children in the foster care area.
I know, Senator Berglund, that Representative Thiessen and Representative Loeffler, who were the two that were working on this yesterday, both wanted to amend the provision that you put in here and had some questions as it relates to the specific language that is in front of us. And that's the discussion that they kept having with DHS staff. And from my understanding, as of last night, individuals were comfortable with this language. However, the way that they would need to amend it, the department would oppose. Ms. Martineau?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, I mean, I just point out the alternative, which is a very unfair policy that would be implemented by the department.
Ms. Martineau, you said you're not the one that was working on this. Do you know who was?
Madam Chair, yes. And they would have been here except that they understood that this was not going to go forward. And you characterized it perfectly, that the way in which the House, Representative Thiessen and Loeffler wanted it amended, they preferred not to have the change at all.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair, do Representative Thiessen and Representative Loeffler understand the onerous effect that leaving the policy the way it is would have on their own constituents?
Senator Berglund, I'm not sure. How about we lay that piece over and try to get through the rest of the adoption? And I'm not sure when the Senate is going back in. When you guys going back in?
11.
We're not going back in until 1. But we still have a little time. It's every intention to get through this small, non-controversial, very technical bill today. If that's okay, Ms. White.
The next provisions, Madam Chair, House Section 2, Senate Section 5 are identical. Requires that in order to maintain eligibility for an MFIP hardship extension, the participant must develop and comply either an employment plan or a family stabilization services plan.
Can I ask a question? Does that include the amendment that the House added, which bars the use of welfare to work payments for voter registration?
That's the next section.
Am I in the wrong section? Okay, I'm sorry.
I move adoption of this identical section.
Yes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's adopted.
The next section amends the definition of work activity in MFIP. The House adds language that the term work activity does not include partisan activities related to distributing and collecting voter registration cards. The Senate language in Section 6 was adopted in a conference committee a couple nights ago, and it states that prior to placing a participant in unpaid work, requires the county to inform the participant that he or she will be notified if a paid work experience or supported work position is available, and it also requires them to consent to unpaid work in writing. And that has already been adopted, but it's
We don't need
Senator Berglund.
So we no longer need this language to be in this conference.
Are there? So we might need that.
Can you explain?
Are there any questions, Representative Pomona?
I guess I didn't need further explanation as to why.
This particular provision was adopted in another conference committee two nights ago. It was in the Senate in that conference committee, not in this one. So it was adopted there.
Madam Chair, House Section 4 and Senate Section 11 are identical, prohibits a county or tribe from imposing residency requirements other than the residency requirements currently in law.
I would move adoption of this identical provision.
Any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted.
On to page 3, House Section 5, Senate Section 12 is identical, modifies the TANF performance-based funds to align the calendar to the federal calendar and discontinue the 5% additional allocation.
I remove adoption of this identical provision.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And Madam Chair, there's one more Senate provision that was it's Section 12. It's actually identical to the amendment that the House has, the A13. It just extends the effective date for the food stamp simplification process.
So I would move adoption of the language in the Senate.
Members, this is just something that just got accidentally left out before. Any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
Okay. Madam Chair, Article 2 is a child care article, and Section 1 is identical, and this just modifies the basic sliding fee allocation formula to improve distribution of funds to counties with unmet need.
Move adoption of this identical provision.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted.
Section 2 is also identical, and this clarifies eligibility for employees of family child care providers.
I remove adoption of this identical provision.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted.
Section 3 is also identical. It specifies that effective upon the date of enactment, it exempts participants of the school readiness service agreements from absent day limits.
I move adoption of this identical provision.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted.
The next section, Senate Section 4, is a Senate-only section, and this requires a child care license holder to place an infant to sleep on its back unless there's documentation from the infant's doctor stating the need for an alternative sleeping position.
I move we adopt the Senate position.
Representative Norna.
Question.
Okay.
It was my understanding that the House, we passed a different language. Why isn't that in here?
Deleted.
It was deleted?
It was taken out.
Okay.
So that was the difference. In the House, this provision was taken out, but it continued to move in the Senate.
Okay.
Is there
No, I was. I didn't realize that had happened. I don't happen to support the Senate language.
Do one of you want to speak to the Senate language?
Yes, Madam Chair. One of the issues that is important, I think, for us to understand is that child care providers right now are in a difficult position because there are regulations as to how they need to place infants in the crib. And we put these regulations in place. And now we gave, through legislation last year, parents the authority to change that. And so we put providers in a very awkward place in terms of complying with regulations that currently exist for not only for licensing particularly. So what we're trying to do with this particular language is really to go back to where we were before last year, which is to really give the providers, obviously, the authority to or help them comply with the regulations.
And now it requires a doctor to authorize some other position other than laying on the back. And that's what I guess we were objecting to, is that now bring the doctors into this, where parents should be the ones making that decision. And I believe that child care providers actually are still under a tremendous liability, because if the law says the child must be on its back and you have a rambunctious child that doesn't want to be on its back and some negative something happens, I think that child care provider is responsible. So we're putting the child care provider, I think, in an even a tougher position, even having this language at all. That's just my opinion.
Representative
Flower. Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that in the House we did have an extensive debate on this, but I agree with the Senate position. I mean, I think it's back to current law, and in working with child care providers, it is the best way to do it, I mean, also for liabilities and so forth. When I say back to current law, it's maybe the way of putting them on the back.
Excuse me. Current law doesn't. Did that include the doctors needing a permission?
I think I said that wrong.
Because that's new language.
Madam Chair and Representative Nornes, what happens is that when a child care provider is licensed, they receive, you know, kind of a set of regulations that they have to comply with. In these regulations, the child care provider will read that there is a position that they need to put the place the children in the crib in order to prevent SIDS. That's being said. Last year, we or somebody passed legislation saying, well, parents can object to that. Well, they could. That's okay. They can say today, even with this legislation, they can say to the child care provider, I don't want you to do that. But the child care provider is going to have to say, well, but I need to comply with this regulation to prevent SIDS, so how do you want me to do this? If the parent insists that the child be placed in the crib the way they want to, which is against the current regulations, the licensing regulations, they're just going to have to bring their doctors. It's not just their opinion, because the reason we have this regulation in place is not that it's an opinion. It's because science says that this is the best way. And so right now what we're trying to say is it's okay for a parent to ask a provider to place your child however you want, but you just have to do that, you know, with advice of a person who knows. Because unfortunately, many providers are being asked by parents to do many things that are not really, you know, against really the regulations that are in place for child care providers for the licensing. They have a license and they have to comply.
I'm well aware of the requirements for a child care provider. But the comment was made that this is old language or current language, and it's not.
Sorry, I misspoke. It's Representative Fritz's provision, and you explained it very well in terms of what's in regulations right now. And then obviously if you want the child to be put on their stomach to have a doctor's note. And we had testimony in the House, very graphic testimony about a child that had been put on their stomach and had died from that, and that it was a mistake in that case on the case of a child care worker doing that. But this would make sure that if you want a child on their stomach, they have the doctor's permission, which is really the safest thing to do.
I could just add one more thing. It did, the language taking the doctor out of it passed the House 88-42. I guess it may be immaterial.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. You know what, Representative Nornes, you might be right. I'm looking at something else.
Yeah. So it had a strong bipartisan support when it when it passed the House.
Senator Burdon,
it would seem to me like this language would give parents more opportunity to have a say over how their child is placed than the current law or regulation would. Under the current law or regulation, there's no exception. So this would give parents more opportunity.
I would argue from a different standpoint that you understand the high cost of health care. Now we're forcing parents again to make another visit to see the doctor or somehow contact the doctor who is busy taking care of other patients. I mean, it's just adding one additional, I think, unnecessary step to protect the children. I think current law basically goes far enough, my opinion.
Representative Fritz, would you like to say something?
Yes, if I could, thank you. Yes, Madam Chair and members. The testifier that one of the testifiers that we had was a woman, young woman, who did bring her child to the licensed daycare provider, and the parent had asked the daycare provider to place that infant on its back at all times, and the death of the infant occurred, and then it had been and is investigated that the child was on its abdomen and did die. And, of course, this is an ongoing now litigation with that child care provider. Had that child care provider had a script from the physician stating that the child could go on its abdomen, I think liability of the child care provider would be much less than having nothing. So I see this, first of all, as a safety precaution for the infant, and secondly, as a help for the parent and the provider. Sometimes when you bring your child to the provider, I think the parent, of course, wants the child comfortable and safe, and those are the two things. And then the provider wants to provide that, but they also need to protect themselves from further liability. And that is essentially why I think the care providers brought this legislation to me and why I am firmly in favor of it.
Sure. I was there for the testimony. I heard that testimony, and it's very emotional. I'm not sure that having a doctor's permission slip would have changed the outcome in that particular case. My wife told me that my children at age 3 months were rambunctious enough to not lay where you put them. And so that's where I think the liability lies again with the provider, that at 6 months, if you lay them on their back and then you leave the room and then they decide they'd like to roll over, and some negative, to me, we're legislating to the point of, I'm not sure that it's going to change the outcome. And I guess I'm concerned about the providers, that we're putting them in a position of needing a guard on duty during nap time at all times, so that if somebody moves, you're going to have to make sure that tied down securely so they don't move. I mean, it's so I won't discuss it any further other than that I get to that new language.
Just for the record, I just want to make sure that we all understand this and the audience. I don't think that this provision is really forcing the provider to place the child and maintain the child at all times in that position. But basically what it's saying is that licensing basically asks the providers to comply with certain regulations. And that's based on science. And that says that that's the way you place, you know, they specifically say this is the way you place a child in bed to prevent SIDS. So some parents are saying, well, my child does not need that. And the provider may want to respect that and say, okay, so your child does not need to sleep the way according to scientific guidelines. That's okay. Just bring me some kind of a document from your doctor that says that I am not going to comply with this regulation that was developed based on science. Now, obviously, anything could happen, but in fact, this is to protect providers, but it is not really to put an overburden, but just to say if parents really don't want to do what my license is asking me to do, I will do it for you. Just bring me a doctor's order, and I will do it. I will place the child however you want, but basically some parents are asking providers now to kind of really don't comply with these licenses provision. And I think we have put these providers in a very difficult place because parents are saying, do this to my child. And then DHS is saying, but you're not supposed to do that because that's against the licensing regulation.
One more comment. We have done that as a legislature, put the provider in that position. Mm-hmm. To me, it ought to be a decision. We already understand that in the back apparently is the best and safest way to go. We know that.
Yeah.
We have now made it legal. I mean, you have to do it. We're forcing them to do it. To me, it should be a decision that the parents and the provider make, not the government. And now we've just gone one step further, getting the doctors involved, who may also have some liability in here if something happens.
Adoption of this provision?
From my understanding, and Representative Lunas, I do understand your concerns and your objections. My understanding that this was compromised language that was used with the department and I believe the providers. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Adopted.
Madam Chair, House Section 4 and Senate Section 5 are identical.
Move adoption of the identical provision.
I move
adoption of the identical provision.
Thank you. Sorry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Sorry, Senator Bergman. Multitasking.
And actually, because we're going into session, I will move adoption of all the rest of the identical provisions.
No, Senator Bergman, I was hoping someone would do that. Are there any questions or concerns that members may have with any of the sections being adopted? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I will move adoption of the conference committee report as adopted. By the motion stands by the conference committee.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, members.
This one that we put on
the there was one.
Yeah.
There's one that didn't get adopted.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Okay. I understood that we were putting one of the items on hold.
Except this.
And so I would move reconsideration of the motion by which the conference committee report was adopted.
Members, public, thank you.
Is there section D?
We need to do two things because I actually adjourned the meeting. So we
I move that we reconsider the motion.
Thank you. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are back.
I move that we reconsider the motion to adopt the conference meeting.
It might be included in what was important.
Do you have something to say? Or you should hear the show out of there.
I got there were some user questions related to the federal disallowance funding.
Well, earlier we were talking about if the provision in the bill that the Senate has is not adopted, the department then would allocate federal disallowances based on the foster care utilization in each county. And even if the federal disallowances were not all involved with foster care, and I guess I raised a concern about that.
And that's language that we had put forward. We do for future disallowances that are based on this random sampling of that the CMS does. We were seeking to get that language similar to what we advertised for, be able to allocate that across the counties. So it's actually fair to the counties as well, too.
I understand that. That's why I was raising concerns about not adopting it.
Yeah, and the issue, and we do need that language to allow the allocation. There were issues brought up within the House in terms of...
I understand those issues were brought up. I think we just need a little more time to talk about it.
Does the counties have a position on this? You were in the room.
Madam Chair, I just sent out a message to try to get some data from our county, and I find out what the concern is.
So since we originally, I just forgot that we were going to just set the report aside until we can resolve that issue.
Members, instead of waiting for that callback, and Representative Thiessen, who I lean on for advice on this, is actually meeting with the governor, and so I can't get to him right now. And so to save the individual's time, let's recess to the call of the chair.
Yes.
Okay. We're in recess.